Okay, page Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, 16 lines in the top. The Gemara was speaking, and based on the Mishnah that we learned at the bottom of the other page, that you don't, we're talking about the Psukim of Malchi, Zechreinus, and Shefris. So the Gemara said, you don't say, the Mishnah said, you don't say any ones of punishments, and you don't say ones of individuals. Okay? So the Gemara asked, the last thing we finished off was, why do we say Hashem Pakad Asara, that Hashem remembered Sarah to give birth to Yitzchak if he's an individual? So the Gemara answers, that's because the Jews came from Yitzchak, so it's not an individual, it's a lot. Okay. So then the Gemara says, it says in the Braisim, so Usharim Rashechem, raise up your heads. We say this in Yom Nishin of davening. Susham Nesheichem, raise up your heads, O gates. V'nosu pischi elam, and be uplifted, and there will be the everlasting entrances. V'yavi melech hakoved, that the King of Glory can enter. Okay, basically, the basic Levimach says, until him gates open up that Hashem could enter. Mizem melech hakoved, who is this King of Honor that we're talking about? Hashem eases v'gibor, Hashem the Mighty One, the Strong One. Gibor Muhammad, the strong one in battle. And then again the Pasuk says, Se'u Shorim Sheichem, raise up your heads, O gates. U'su Pischi Yelam, and ever, the gates, the everlasting gates, entrances should open up, ever pick up themselves. V'yavim Melech HaKovid, and again, the King of Honor should come. Mi'u Zem Melech HaKovid, who is this King of Honor? Hashem Tzvokis Melech HaKovid Tzela. It's Hashem, the King of the Legions, the King of Glory. Okay? So, in the same capital, you have the concept of Hashem's name being mentioned as Melech. So now the question is, are these psukim counted as psukim of kingdom? And is it counted as one pasuk or two psukim? So it says as follows. Rishayna, the first clause, ishtayim, is two concepts of kingdom, because it says, v'yavi melech ha-kovid, and then it says again, mizem melech ha-kovid. So it says twice the word melech, so it could be counted as two different psukim, because it is two psukim. Shnia, the second clause of Su Shem Nesheichem, the second time is really Shalish, it's counted as three. Why? Because Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael says, because if you look in how many times it says the word Melech, in the second clause, it's three times. So therefore, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisrael holds, between these two psukim, you have five psukim of God's name. Okay, so it could be counted as five psukim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Rishayna Shtayim, I'm sorry, Rishayna Achas, the first one is only counted as one because it only speaks about Hashem. Not that it doesn't say the word Melech twice, it does. But it refers only one mention of Hashem. And Shniya Shtayim, the second one, is only two because he considers that the separate, who is the King of Glory, is not a separate sentence from the first one. Because the first one says it's Melech HaKovid. The second verse is only explaining who it is. So it's not really counted as twice, like Rabbi Yossi holds. Then the Braisa continues with a similar argument. Again, the Gemara is trying to figure out, we need Tempsukim of Malchias, Tempsukim of Zechreinus, Tempsukim of Shefiris. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what could be counted as Psukim or not. Then it says also, Zamer Lekim Zemeru, sing for Hashem, sing. Zamer Lumalkenu Zemeru, sing for our king, sing. Ki Melech Kol Ha'ores Olekim, because God is the king of all the earth. So again, this is counted as Shtayim, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds this is counted as two times king, because it says Zamer Malkenu, sing our king, and then it says Melech Kol Ha'ores, that Hashem is king. So the fact that it says it twice means it's two psukim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only one. Because it's the same pasuk. In the same pasuk, it's only one. V'shavim, but both of them agree, B'malech alakim al-goyim. Alakim yashiv al-kisei kotche, that God is king over the nations. Hashem seems on the king, on the chair of his holiness. Everybody agrees that it's only achas, it's only one. Why? Because it says only melech once. If it says melech only once, everybody says it can only be counted as one. Then the Braisa continues with another argument. It says, Zikodin Sheyesh Beitruam, what happens, now, you have to mention, the Gemara now finished with Malchias, with kingdom. Now you have two other types of psukim you have to mention. Zechreinus is psukim of remembrance, and then there's Shefiris, psukim that deal with Shefir. The Gemara is going to discuss now, What happens if one pasuk has both words in it? Zichrein and Shefer. Can you count it for each one or only for Zichreinus or Shefris? So he says, Zichrein Sheyesh Beitrua, a remembrance that talks about blowing. So again, the Gemara gives an example. Shabbosin Zichrein Trua, that it's a day of rest, Zichrein Trua, a remembrance of Shefer. Mikra Kedish, it's a holy one. So the question is that Zichreinus or is it Shefris? Well, yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, he says, the fact that it mentions both Zichrein, and you're right, we're going to see, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold, it's only with, no, he holds, he can only mention with Zichreinus, because you don't actually blow on Shabbos. So it's only Zichrein Teror. So it's more of a remembrance than a Shefer.
But
yeah. But you were talking about everybody else, though. So Rabbi Yossi says that you can count it for both. Rabbi Yudaim and Rabbi Yudah says, no. You can only count it with the Shefris. But he says even more. The way the Mefarshim explain, according to Rabbi Yudah, you can't use it for Shefer because it doesn't say the word Shefer. It says the word Trua. Trua means blowing, but it doesn't say the word Shefer. So he says you can't even count it for Shefer, because it doesn't say Shefer. Zichrein says the word Zikaron, so you can count it for Zichrein, but you can't count it for Shefer. Then the Gemara continues and says, Malchus Sheyesh Imei Trua. How about a pasuk of Malchus, of kingship, that also mentions Trua blowing? Kagain, Hashem Alokav Imei, that God is, Hashem is, God is with him, Usruas Melech Beit, and a blowing, here he says, the Trua, Usruas Melech Beit, the friendship of the king is in him. So the question says Melech, and it says Trua, could you count it as both or not? So he says, again, Rabbi Yossi says, Eimin Ma'amalchias, Ve'eimin Ma'ashefis. You could say with Melech, because it says Melech, and you can count it with blowing. You can only say it with Melech. Why? Because the pasuk says Melech. But by Shefer, it doesn't say Shefer, it says only Trua. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it doesn't say Shefer, you can't use it, even though it says Trua, which means blowing. But Trua, She'enim alei klum, but what happens if Trua has nothing? Meaning, it doesn't say Shefer, it doesn't say Melech, and it doesn't say Zikaron. So the question is, the word Trua, can it be used for Shefer or not? And here it says clearly, Kagain, Yom Trua, Yelachem, it should be a day of blowing, so it doesn't say Shefer. So Emrem Shefer, Sivir Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds, you could use it with Shefer, because he holds Trua is the same as Shefer. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, and Emre Kaliki can't say it at all. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it doesn't say the word Shefer, it's no good. Then the Gemara continues as follows. The Mishnah said a din in the second of the very wide lines. Mascha b'teiro mashlim b'navi. It says, now again, we learned in the Gemara before, there was an argument, do you need to say 10 psukim? Do you need to say 3 psukim? But the Gemara said, you start with teiro and you end with navi. Meaning you start psukim of chumash and the last psukim of the 10 you say from navi. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Rabbi Yossi says, Im Hishlam Bateira, if you finished with Chumish, Yotze Yoyetze. So the Gemara says, Im Hishlam, it's only if you did, meaning you really shouldn't do it, but it, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, if you did it, it's good. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, but we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi says, Hamashlam Bateira, Reizem Meshubach, if you finish with Teira, if you conclude with a pasuk from Chumash, you're praiseworthy. So how could Rabbi Yossi say, if you did it, you're yaitze, which means you really shouldn't do it. It's only if you did it, it's good. When here it says clearly, that's the way you're supposed to do it. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah doesn't mean if you did it, but he means mashlim, that's the way you're supposed to do it. But the Gemara says, but it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah says, im hishlim ktani, if you finished. which means the yavid in the chatchila light. So the Gemara says you're right. Hachi kama, this is what it means. Matzchil b'teiro umashlim b'navi. The first opinion says you start in chumish and you end in navi. Rabbi Yisi says, on the contrary, he says like this: mashlim b'teiro, you finish with chumish, but imhishlim b'navi. But if you did it in navi, yaitza your yaitza, meaning. Rabbi Yisi holds as follows, and this is what we do, by the way, like Rabbi Yisi. The Gemara says, the Mishnah saying, according to the Gemara, Rabbi Yisi says you're supposed to start with Chumash and end with Chumash. If you didn't and you ended with Navi, you're Yaitza. The first opinion says, no, you're supposed to start with Chumash and end with Navi. That's where you're supposed to do it. Rabbi Yisi says, no, you're supposed to start with Torah and end with Chumash, and with Chumash. But if you ended with Navi, you're Yaitza. Lepel, the way we do it is we end with the Pasuk of Chumash. That's the way we do it. Now, the Gemara asks a very simple question. Bishlam is Achrenis v'Sheifris. We said before, you need to have 10 Psukim, right? Starting with Chumash and ending with Chumash. So the Gemara says, Bishlam is Achrenis v'Sheifris Ikatuva. In Chumash, you have a lot of Psukim about Zechrenis, and a lot of psukim about Shefris. So there's no problem getting those psukim. Ela Malchius, but the Gemara asks a question, but when you're talking about Malchus, Tulos Havadavin, there's only three, and you need four. Because the Gemara says as follows, if you have 10 psukim, you do three from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, three from Ksuvim, and then you end with Chumash. So Chumash needs four psukim, okay? So, Zechreinus and Shefris, the Gemara says there's plenty of Psukim, there's no shortage. But if you look in Chumash, the Gemara asks, Malchius, there's only three Psukim in the entire Chumash that calls God as king. So, but you need four, so where do you get the fourth Pasuk from? The Gemara says, Bishlam is Zechreinus and Shefris, Ikatuva. There is a lot of Zechreinus and a lot of Shefris. But Ela Malchius, B'Psukim of Malchius, Tulasu Dahavin, there's only three, and we need four. What, and the Gemara says, what are the three? Because one pasuk says, Hashem Elokav, Imei, God is with him, Usruas Melech Bei, and the friendship of the king is with him. So you see that that is a pasuk of Melech. Then it says, Vayihi Bishurim Melech. There is a, we say in Chumash, Hashem is a king over Yeshurim. That's another time it says, call Hashem king. And the third time it says, Hashem Yimlech Leilam Vohad, that God will live forever. But the Gemara says, "Vanam beinan esiv aleku." We need 10, and there isn't. So the Gemara's question is, you don't have. Well, the Gemara's question is not really that you need 10; you need really 4. But the Gemara says, you know, but I mean, if you need a lot, you don't even have 10. So Amar Rav Huna answered as follows: Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It says in the Braise that the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is also God as king. Even though it doesn't say the word king, but it means Hashem is Echad, so Hashem is king. David, Rabbi Yisi, that's what Rabbi Yisi says. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Eina Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not kingdom, because it doesn't say the word melech. Then the Gemara says, another pasuk, you should know today and take to heart, that God is God, ain't is Malchus, divided Rabbi Yisi. That's what Rabbi Yisi says. In other words, we see from Rabbi Yisi, like what Jesse said before by Shefer, Rabbi Yisi said it doesn't need to say the word Shefer or Melech. If the implication is Shefer or God is king, even though it doesn't say it, it's good. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yisi, the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad doesn't say God is king, but that's what it means. So it could be counted. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, it can't be counted. If it doesn't say the word Melech, it's not a king. The same thing, the pasuk we say in Aleinu from Chumash. There's nobody else but God. So according to Rabbi Yisi, that's a pasuk of Melech. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not, because it doesn't say the word Melech. Then the next pasuk says, you have been shown to know that Hashem is Olikim Ein Eid Milvadei. Again, it doesn't say God is king, but it says Ein Eid Milvadei is considered Malchus Divrei Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yehuda Emer Eina Malchus. What do you see from this? The Gemara just mentioned four more psukim in Chumash that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's called kingdom. So it's not a problem. In other words, the Gemara's question, when the Gemara said you need 10, the Gemara doesn't mean you need 10 from Chumash. It means you need 10 altogether, but 4 of them are from Chumash, and you only have 3. So the Gemara found that you have 4. Okay. Now, that's a very interesting Mishnah. It's a very short Mishnah. You see it 12 lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara speaks as follows. On Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar and you do all the psukim in Musaf, right? Whenever we say Hallel for the Yom Tif, not Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is going to explain, we don't say Hallel. But on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we say Hallel during Shacharis, right? So everybody knows that's the way we do it. But the Gemara is going to discuss why is it that Hallel, which deals with the Yom Tif, you know, praising Hashem special for the Yom Tif, we do during Shacharis. And all the Psukim of Rosh Hashanah, you know, with the Shofar blowing, we do during Musaf. Why is this Shacharis and this done during Musaf? So the Mishnah says as follows. Ha'eva lefnei ha'teva b'Yom Tif shor Rosh Hashanah, the one who leads the davening during Rosh Hashanah, says as follows, Hasheni Maskia. The second person, meaning the guy that davens Musaf, that's when they blow. Not during Shacharis. But Bishas Halo, when Halal is said, Harish and Makri is a Halo. The first one says Halal, not Musaf. And the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference? But the Mishnah said a statement. Halal we say during Shacharis, and the Rosh Hashanah blowing and all that we do during Musaf. So the Gemara asks, "Mai shno sheni maskia?" This is a good word for the latecomers. "Mai shno sheni maskia?" The Gemara asks, "Why is it that the second one blows shofar?" I understand. He said, "Mishum derev am hadras melech," because when you have more people, it's nicer, right? So therefore, people come late. So not everybody comes to Shacharis, like we know. So the time Musaf comes around, more people are in shul. So if you want to blow shofar, it's best to do it when there's more people in shul.
These people existed back then?
Yeah, they were the same neshamas, just in different bodies.
Still coming back to fix it.
So the Gemara asks, "Hihachi, if so, Halo nami neima b'sheni mishum revam hadas melech." Then halal should also be said during Musaf when there's more people. Right? In other words, as follows. In the olden times, a lot of people didn't know how to daven. Like we learned, that's why the Chazan repeated the Shemoneh Esrei for them, the Chazan used to say halal for them, and so on. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara thought, the reason why Shofar you do by Musaf is because there's more people in the shul, that's the time to do it. So the Gemara says, if so, then halal should also be by Musaf. After Musaf, we should say halal when there's more people in shul. So the Gemara says, obviously that's not the reason. So the Gemara says as follows. Elamai shno halo. So now the Gemara, it's the middle of asking the question. So we must say, why do you do halo at Shacharis? Mishum zreizim magdimim mitzvahs. Because zealous people like to do mitzvahs earlier. So the Gemara says, tkiya nami navid barishim mishum zreizim magdimim mitzvahs. So then you should blow shofar early in the morning to do it as soon as possible. So again, the Gemara says, now the Gemara is trying to figure out why is Halal by Shacharis and Shofar by Musaf. So the Gemara says, if you tell me the reason Shofar is by Musaf because there's more people, then Halal should be at Musaf. If you tell me you do Halal and Shacharis because the quicker the better, so then Shofar should also be done by Shacharis because the quicker the better. So the Gemara answers an interesting answer. B'shaz gzeidus ha-malchus shanu. This halacha was said during the time of the decree against shofar blowing. So he says as follows. The, the Romans made a decree. They used to make decrees against Torah reading. That's why we have Haftorah, because they made a decree that you're not allowed to read the Torah. The Romans used to make decrees against Judaism. So they made a decree, you're not allowed to blow Shofar. Okay? It's like it says, here. Because they used to send spies during Shachris, because they knew that when did they blow Shofar? During Shachris. That was the way it was originally, the Gemara is explaining. So they used to send spies to make sure the Jews didn't blow during Shachris. Once they didn't blow during Shachris, the spies left. So they blew it at Musaf. So therefore, it's so to speak, that's the way the minig became. But Halu, there was never a decree not to say. Now, that's what Tesis here brings down, an interesting Yerushalmi, another reason. He says, it once occurred that the enemies of the Jews heard the Shofar blast early in the morning, and they thought the Jews was a battle cry to go revolt against the Romans. So they came and they slaughtered the Jews of that shul. Because they thought the Shofar was like, you know, the trumpets of getting... So to preclude the repetition, they moved it up to Musaf. Why was that better? Because when the Goyim saw that the Jews were davening already in Shul for a long time, and then they blew, they understood it was a religious thing. But when you did it during Shachris, they thought it was like a revolution. So therefore they made a takana to do it in the... So Taisus says that even though the Gzei Locher doesn't apply today, so why wouldn't we do it by Shachris? Because there is a concept of Zerizim Magdimim LeMitzvahs. So Tesis says, they kept it as it is. Which, by the way, this Gemara brings to light a very interesting halacha question. The Gemara says, it's better to do it earlier because of Zerizim Magdimim LeMitzvahs. You know, zealous people do it earlier. And there's an advantage of Shofar during Mosif because Revam Hadras Malach. There's more people in Shul by them. So the question is, Taka, what outweighs what? Give me an example, which is a very practical shaila mentioned in halacha. You have two options. To do a bris early in the morning, but you'll have less people. Or should you wait until the afternoon, and you have more people? So what's the question? If you do it early in the morning, there's a concept of zrizim magdimim lemitzvahs. Zealous people do mitzvahs as soon as possible. But there's an advantage of reiv ham hadras melech. That you have more people, it's nicer, right? So which one outweighs what? So there's a big machlekes in halacha, what do you do? Most poskim, even though people don't do that, most poskim hold that zealousness outweighs more people. Zealousness outweighs more people, so you're supposed to do the bris early in the morning, even though you'll have less people. Well, the minig is, a lot of people do, they do it later to have more people. But in technical halacha, yes, kashayla, what's better? Zealous early in the morning is better. There's a famous story with Alter Rebbe, and it was Rabbi Baruch Mezhebush, who was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. When Russia was fighting with France, so there was a whole fight amongst the Jewish leaders who should win, France or Russia. The Alter Rebbe wanted Russia to win, and a lot of other Gedolim wanted France to win. What was the shaila between Napoleon and the Russians? Because if Napoleon would have won, it would have been better gashmis for the Jews. If Russia won, it would have been better ruchnis for the Jews. So the Alter Rebbe wanted Russia. In fact, the Alter Rebbe was helping out Russia with spies. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid of Meisher Meisels, who was a spy. And you know the story mentioned that he was once in Napoleon's room, and Napoleon came into the room, and so he was there and touched his heart. Anyway, so the Alter Rebbe Mamish helped out Russia to win the war. In fact, the Alter Rebbe was helped by Russia. At the beginning, Napoleon was coming into Russia, into central Russia. And over there, he lost. But the Alter Rebbe had to run away from Napoleon. And the Russian government helped him run away. Anyway, it boiled down, it was Rosh Hashanah time. It boiled down in heaven that whoever was going to blow Shofar first would win. That was the bottom line of it. So the Baruch Mezhebush got up early in the morning Rosh Hashanah, and the second you're allowed to daven, he started zooming through the davening that he should be able to go blow shofar as soon as possible. Talmud Rebbe didn't daven. He blew shofar before davening. As soon as you're able to blow shofar, if you forget davening, he just blew shofar. So there's the Indian, you know, of the shofar blowing as soon as possible. But Lepel, the halacha is, the Gemara says that we do it in the afternoon, and this is you see what the from the Gemara, you see what the Gemara paskins. Why Lepel do we blow shofar in the afternoon? The Gemara says because of the gzeid of the kingdom. Right? The Gemara doesn't answer because more people is better than zealous. The Gemara could have answered, you know why we blow it by most of Kudrevam Hadras Melech. So besides the fact that then the question would be in Halil, but the question would also be, if Revam is better, then we should do it in the afternoon, or by Musaf time. So you see that the Gemara is not exactly paskening, you know, which one's better, but the Gemara seems to imply that Zrizim Magdimim LaMitzvah is better. Okay, then the Gemara asks, Me the Kamer B'Shas Halal, the fact that the Mishnah said the expression is false. And Rosh Hashanah, this is what you do. Then the Gemara says, and when you say Halal, you say it at Shachris. So the Gemara says, that means you don't say Halal in Rosh Hashanah. Michlal, the B'Rosh Hashanah, Lekah Halal. So you see from there that Rosh Hashanah, there is no Halal. So the Gemara says, my time, but why don't we say Halal? And we know, by the way. And Rosh Hashanah says in Shulchan Aruch, we don't say Halal. So the Gemara says, why not? It's a Yom Tov. Why don't you say Halal in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rababu, Rababu said the following, Amar Malachi Lifnei, Amar Malachi Asharit, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, the Malachim say to Hashem, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Mipna Ma'en Yisrael, Eimim Shira, Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Why don't the Jews sing Hallel for you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Meaning the Malachim come to Hashem and say, hey God, how come the Jews don't sing Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? So it says, Amar Lahem, Hashem says, Evshem Melech Yeshiv al Kisig Din. You think in a case when a king is sitting on judgment, V'sifre Chaim V'sifre Meisim P'suchem Lefanav, and the books of life and the books of death are open before him, meaning who's getting written anywhere. V'Yisrael Eimim Shir, and you expect the Jews to sing praise. I mean, it's not right. Yeah. In fact, it is as follows. The angels know that they themselves should refrain from song on a day when people are inscribed for death. They ask, however, since Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, and the Jews are commanded to be happy, confident they will be inscribed in a good year, so then he asked the question, why don't the Jews say Hallel? So Hashem answers, because it's still a day of judgment, you don't say Hallel. It's not a day of Simcha. It's a day of seriousness. So they don't say. Okay, next Mishnah. Six lines from the bottom of the page. Now the Gemara is going to discuss as follows. What happens if you need to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Are you allowed to desecrate Yom Tov to get a shofar? For instance, if it's up in a tree, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos in Yom Tov. Can you climb a tree to get a shofar? Or if it's outside, you know, the tchum, what you're allowed to walk on Shabbos? It's outside of the boundaries. Are you allowed to walk there on Yom Tov to desecrate Yom Tov to bring a shofar? So that's what the Mishnah is going to discuss. So he says, shofar of Rosh Hashanah, shofar of Rosh Hashanah, eim avinu nolav zatchum. You're not allowed to go beyond the boundaries. Veim mefakchin olav etzegal, and if a shofar is buried under rubble, under stones that fell down, you're not allowed to clear out the rubble to get shofar. Why? Because stones are muktzah. But the Mishnah is saying an interesting thing. Even though all these things are only rabbinic, and shofar is biblical, you're still not allowed to do a rabbinic sin to do a biblical mitzvah. You can't climb a tree to get it. Now the Chacham said, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why not? Because you might rip off a branch. And that's already biblical. The same thing, you're not allowed to ride an animal. Why? Because again, you might cut off a branch to use it as a whip, you know, to get the animal going. You're not allowed to swim on water. Shabbos, you're not allowed to swim. Again, it's rabbinic, because you might build a life preserve, which is forbidden on Shabbos. So you can't cut it off an animal on Yom Tov. Bein b'davar shu mishum shvus, whether something is only rabbinically forbidden, or bein b'davar shu mishum shvus, or whether it's biblically forbidden, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to desecrate Yom Tov, even if it's only rabbinic, even though it b'shefes a biblical mitzvah. Aye, how could the Chacham take away from the biblical mitzvah? The Chacham have that ability to do it. They have the Chacham have the ability to say, don't do a positive mitzvah. Like we learned before, when Shefer falls on Shabbos, why don't you blow Shefer, even though biblically you're supposed to blow? Because the Chacham have the power to say, don't do it. They don't have the power to say sin, to eat chazer. But the Chacham have a power to say, don't do a positive mitzvah. So because these things are only rabbinically forbidden, they still have the ability to say, don't do it. But the Gemara says, Avalim Rotz, if you want, Litin L'teichem Mayim Yayin. If you want to put water or wine into the shofar, then you're allowed to. Why? Because, I mean, what do they do it for? They do it today also. When you put water or wine into the shofar, it makes a better sound. It cleans out the shofar, so it makes a better sound. So the din is, even though you're fixing, you're not allowed to fix, but the Gemara says it's not called fixing. Why isn't it fixing? Because something that you can use as is, something you could use as is, and you just want to make it better, is not called fixing. Fixing is when it's not usable, and you make it usable. But if something is usable, anyway, you just want to make it better usable, so that's not called fixing. I'll give you an example. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a strainer. Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a strainer. But if you notice on your sink, where the water comes out from, there's a strainer. So the question is, why don't you have to take that off for Shabbos? Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a strainer. So, why are you allowed to use that strainer? So the answer is, the water is drinkable as is. It's not the pshat, the water is dirty, you have to strain. If you take off the strainer, you can still drink the water. If anything, it strains it more. Yeah, the same thing with a filter. You could put water through, if you have a water filter, right? You could put the water through a water filter. Even though you can't filter juice that has pieces in it, you know, you can't filter that on Shabbos.
Why?
What?
Is that all before and after?
Yeah, but it's completely different, though. Here it's the same thing. It's not even a noticeable change.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this is a very noticeable change of changing it. And if a person doesn't like the pieces, they're not going to drink it. So you're talking making it drinkable much more than water, which is drinkable the same way, whether there's a strain or not, you won't be able to tell the difference. You won't be able to tell the difference if the strainer is there on the sink or not.
Well, people couldn't actually tell the difference if there's a filter. Otherwise, it wouldn't be filtering it.
Yeah, but it's not something you're going to be able to tell based on the difference. It's drinkable as it is completely. Then it says, you don't have to stop a kid from blowing shofar on Yom Tov. Meaning, you just can't pick up a shofar on Rosh Hashanah and blow. If it's not for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to. But you don't stop the kids from blowing. On the contrary, you can engage with them, you can occupy yourself with them until they learn how to blow shofar, even on Yom Tov. Yep. He says, ordinarily it's forbidden. Oh, it's missing over here. Oh, no, it's not. It's forbidden to blow, but because it's important for kids to learn how to blow shofar, it's not called unnecessarily blowing. That means everybody says, even when it's not on Shabbos, you know, Rosh Hashanah, whatever, you're not allowed to blow shofar if you don't have to. That means once you took a shofar, you want to just blow, you're not allowed to. You're allowed to test the shofar. You know, let's say you have to go blow shofar somewhere, right? And you want to test the shofar to see if it works, you're allowed to blow it. Because it's not unnecessary. But stam, a guy wants to show off after davening that he knows how to blow shofar, you're not allowed to. Okay? So the Gemara says, L'cheire, can kids blow shofar? They can blow shofar. Can you help them blow shofar? Yes. It's unnecessarily blowing. Unnecessary blowing. It's not because you're teaching them how to blow, and it's not a waste of time. Then it says, though, Hamisasik lo yotza. But one who is just blowing shofar, you know, not for the sake of the mitzvah, you're not yetza. Because you need to have kavana that you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. If a guy is planning to blow, just takes a shofar to try it out, you're not yetza. Not only is he not yetza, Hashemem in a misasik, if you hear from a guy who's blowing absent-mindedly, lo yotze, you're not yotze, your obligation. So therefore, the Gemara says, you must have an actual kavana to do with the blower and the listener, both. So the Gemara asks a question, Shaif, my time, what's the reason? Why can't you not desecrate to get a shofar? So the Gemara answers, very simple. Shofar asehu. Shofar is a positive mitzvah. And yomtiv aseh v'leisase. Yomtiv, it says, keep yomtiv and don't desecrate it. So yomtiv has a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. And the rule is, in esa decha leisase v'esa. And a positive mitzvah can push off a negative mitzvah and a positive mitzvah. Meaning, a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah. That's the halacha. Positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah. But a positive mitzvah can push off a positive and a negative. A positive and a negative is stronger than a positive. So if it says, don't blow shofar, I'm sorry, it says, don't desecrate Yom Tov and keep Yom Tov. So Yom Tov has a positive and a negative. So you can't desecrate Yom Tov to blow shofar, which is only a positive mitzvah. So then the question is, but what's wrong if it's rabbinic? Yet the Mishnah said even rabbinic things are not allowed to desecrate it. So the Rashi explains, because when the Chacham instituted a decree, they made it like the biblical status. And if you're not allowed to do something on Yom Tov rabbinically, it has the biblical status. So you can't do it. So even a rabbinic thing like to swim, to climb a tree, or to do any of these things, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov, even though they're only rabbinic. So now the Gemara asks one final question. The Gemara says, it says in the Mishnah, Le'elim be'ilan, you're not allowed to ride it, to climb a tree. Le'erechon agabi behemi, you're not allowed to ride an animal, so the Gemara, which are only rabbinic. Then the Mishnah says, you can't even do biblical things. The Gemara says, if the Mishnah already says you can't desecrate for a shofar, even rabbinic things, biblical things for sure. He says, Ahashto drabanan amar tolay. If rabbinic things you said you're not allowed to, the Raisa mi boy has to tell me biblical things you're not allowed to. Why does the Mishnah say you can't do rabbinic things or you can't do biblical things to get a shofar? If you can't do rabbinic things, for sure you can't do transgress biblical things. So Gemara says, Zu vein tzarech le'mezu. It means this, and of course this. Then you have many times in the Gemara. The Gemara says, you can't do this, and for sure you can't do this. So that's what the Gemara means. Okay.